When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and U.S. Soccer and the Shebelies Cup in Atlanta on April 6th. And Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's our weekly soccer show on 92.9 The Game. Also available on Off the Woodwork, wherever you get your podcasts, if you can't join us live. But we talk about soccer all over the world on this show. We talk about soccer all over the United States on this show, all over the Southeast. We're going to talk a lot of MLS, a lot of Atlanta United, but we also talk about soccer on a very local scale. And we're going to start the show with that. I'm here at Oglethorpe University in Brookhaven, Georgia. It was a renewal of the oldest college soccer rivalry in the state of Georgia tonight. Oglethorpe's program started in 1961 here in Brookhaven. Emory's program, just a couple of miles away, started in 1958. These teams have been meeting on a regular basis since the Oglethorpe program started. Second time they met this season in Brookhaven tonight. Last time was a 3-3 draw at Emory earlier in the season, second game for both of these teams. Last year here in Brookhaven, it was a 2-2 draw. Oglethorpe had not beaten Emory since 2019 until tonight. Steven Johnson Fikula with a header in the second half. A whole bunch of yellow cards in this one. A red card, yellow cards flying all over the place. A very physical game, a very competitive game, a very hectic game, but a very good win for Oglethorpe. And we're going to hear from head coach John Aiken here in just a moment. We've been out covering this with the SDH Network, and you're going to see plenty of interviews from both teams after the game. It was a fun one to call. It was always one that I look forward to. I've called games for Oglethorpe since 2018, and I've gotten to know the Emory program over the years as well. As John Aiken comes in to join me here in the booth, we'll get him set up here to talk a little bit about this match. And it was a frantic one at times, John.
Very frantic.
Yeah. Is it what you expected in this match?
I didn't know really what to expect outside of it was going to be intense.
Yeah. It lived up to it. I was trying to tell people who hadn't seen this game before that, look, it's two styles that are completely contrasting in the way that you approach the game and the way that Corey Griner approaches the game at Emory. And both of you have success in your styles of play.
Absolutely.
Both teams made the NCAA tournament last year. Both teams very competitive in their respective conferences. this time it felt like your side got a little more control of the match over the 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was, you know, like we talked about before, they were resting for 10 days and sitting waiting for us.
Yep.
And we had a bit of a knockdown drag out with a conference rival, Center College, away from home in bad weather conditions, and a little banged up. And, you know, we walked into a game plan that their job was to break the game up through physical play. And they did that. You know, yeah. We're even more banged up than I'd hope. But it was one of those games where I think they rotated a lot of players, and I kind of went with what I felt like was the strongest group for this game. And we're working on a certain style and system that we needed a little more practice in, and we need to learn how to win sometimes ugly. So I thought we were all over them early, despite them breaking the game up. And then they came on to us in the second half. I feel like partly because we started to be fatigued even yeah. more so. You know, it was, you know, a tough game on Saturday night afternoon. We get back really late Sunday morning. And, you know, there's only so much you can recover. So I thought we had about 45 minutes of our best stuff. And then it was learn how to win,
yeah.
you know, against. And they, I think the shot count, we might have edged them out by one or two, you know, late. But it was their dodgy moments each side, but we grinded it out.
It was a fascinating game. And it's funny, I'm going to get into Atlanta United and the playoff push in the next two segments, but it's kind of a similar story. And it's funny how there's so many of these similar stories at various levels of the game. I think people look at it at times from the outside and they think that, oh, how are you going to draw a conclusion between D3 men's and MLS? But it's the exact same thing. Your team had to learn how to win a game ugly. Atlanta United's had to do that this season as it's gone on. When you lose Thiago Almada, you lose Yorgos Giakoumakis, you don't have the same firepower. And Rob Valentino's talked about it. You got to find a way to win somehow. You guys did that today. Is it down to things that you've worked on, or is it down to things that, honestly, the character of your players came out?
Yeah, I really think it's about the players. I mean, we discuss it, highlight it in pre-games, but we can't make them do that. I mean, I think what we can do is we can highlight that and praise them for those moments that are closer to the standard in which we were trying to get them to do. The fight, the spirit, you know, we do a lot of the technical stuff. We do a lot of the high level play, speed of play, sophistication. But because we do that, we don't have to be as nasty and gritty as we're going to see against some teams that maybe don't have as much quality. So when you get in the NCAA tournament or a conference final, you know, everybody's pretty close,
mm-hmm.
and you have to find that fight and that grit. And I think we're going to be able to point to this game as remember what we had to do when, and hopefully it's a, you know, it resonates with them in those moments about the fight and desire that you have to have in knockout soccer,
because
conference tournament play, only one team goes to the national tournament with the automatic bid. And in the NCAA tournament, there are a lot of really good teams, and there's only one team that wins at the end. So that grit, you know, was showed tonight, and hopefully we will continue to show that resiliency in that fight when it's needed. Hopefully we don't need it as much because we have a lot more quality, but you know, it was, you know, the physicality of the game, you know, I wasn't happy with the way it went, but it's a rivalry game, and those things are going to happen. And, you know, so yeah, I'll leave it at that.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game. I'm Jason Longshore. I'm joined by John Aiken, the head coach at Oglethorpe University. His Stormy Petrels 1-0 winners tonight over the Emory Eagles. And you guys go back into conference play. And I think for people who maybe don't know your program as well and don't know the college soccer world, I think one thing that struck me about this one is you guys have a ton of local players. Emory has a ton of local players. The local soccer scene, which you've been a part of for a long time, it feels like it's really on the rise, not just with U.S. soccer coming to town, not just with Atlanta United, but the quality at the grassroots level. These players are very good across the board in the Atlanta college scene right now.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to go outside Atlanta to find a good player.
Yeah,
you know, it's about finding the one that's right fit for your school and your program and your you know, what's happening with graduating players and what the needs are. But there are so many good players around here, and I think a lot of them in the last few years, you could probably, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, are starting to look at our programs with a lot more realism about being a good fit and fighting to be a part of when they come and see us play.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, well, it's Division III, but this is not, I mean, you know, we have some, man, we have some guys that have come in from Division I schools that don't start from us,
right,
for us,
right?
So and are scrapping for minutes, and I think that's a realization that the top end of Division III is very much as good as, you know, the mid majors. You know, I wouldn't pretend to be as good as UCLA or or Marshall or something like that, but we're also dealing with a totally different type of person and player,
right,
too. You know, so and a lot more American kids.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch your program over the years and getting to see, I don't want to say an evolution, but getting to see maybe, as you mentioned, finding that grit at times and maybe a little more well-roundedness, if that makes sense. I think you're starting to get, obviously, the way that you want to play. You have an identity. Your teams have an identity. You have the style that you want your team to play. But they're finding other ways to be effective when teams take that away from them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it comes down to the backgrounds these kids have come from, and, you know, the way they see the game and their passion and desire to, you know, to come up with those moments. You know, I mean, I didn't coach Steven staying up, you know, in that right, transitional moment, and Nico getting his head up and, you know, bending the ball, you know, to Steven, who's pulling away and then breaks on it and drives it, you know, into the back of the net for the game winner. I mean, you know, we talk about principles of play, where it applied, but we didn't talk about that scenario because it was just, I mean, it's a beautiful thing about soccer. It presented itself and those guys executed, and full credit to Nico and Steven for getting it done.
Yeah, it was Nicholas Ciara with the cross and Steven Johnson Fukula, who played at Campbell last season, yeah, with the goal. That ends up being the difference. For the audience out there who hasn't had a chance to see your team play, here's your chance to sell Atlanta, Metro Atlanta, the world listening to Atlanta Soccer Tonight. How would you describe the Oglethorpe way?
I think it's about being at a really good academic school, a bastion of, you know, higher education, in arguably one of the best parts of a great city like Atlanta. Brookhaven is just an amazing place to be a young person. So many things to do, so many job internships for our students, student athletes that we push them into. And it's an enjoyable brand of soccer. And that's why we realistically have so many Division I transfers, is, you know, they're disillusioned, or people are disillusioned with them, or they're disillusioned with their situation. A lot of ways people come to us, but when they come here, they really, you know, I think, blossom. And, I think part of that is, you know, we talk about, supporting them as people first, mm-hmm, and it's a, you know, comforting thing, but also, you know, our level of standard in which we try to teach the game and ask people to play is high level too. So I think they enjoy that, especially it's a thoughtful, you know, hey, here's five ways we can beat them, and this is what you need to do if this happens, and then executing those scenarios. It's fun, you know, it's fun. It's not, the opposite of that would be, hey, we're going to smash it, and once they make a mistake, then we're going to do something. I feel like that's living off negativity, mm-hmm, as opposed to being as positive as we can be and thoughtful as we can be. And if it doesn't work at the end of the day, at least we felt like we could be the best we can be, you know, as soccer players and people. And I think that's I think it's a rarity, mm-hmm, in the college game. So, you know, and it's not a hard sell. You know, a lot of times it's like, well, we're, you know, locally people know us and we're growing, you know, the brand and things like that. But, you know, when people get here, it's not a hard sell watching our games. We had a couple of recruits here tonight. Yep. Like, oh my gosh.
I'm sure they had a good time tonight.
Oh my gosh. They were like, coach, this is way different than club soccer. And, mm-hmm, and which was exciting to hear from their mouths because they're from good, you know, club programs too. But the crowd and the atmosphere and the intensity, you don't get that on the youth side very often.
Right.
It happens. But games like this on a night like this and the facility like this, and the way we did it, it's a different level. It's certainly not Atlanta United, but it is, it's a great place to be. And, you know, so few people get a chance to move on and play professionally that, you know, college is the last stop for so many kids. And it's an honor to play college soccer. But a place like ours where you can win, you can get a great education in a great city. You know, we're always looking for good players, and when we can connect with them, we hope that we're a great home for them too.
Can't recommend it enough. Oglethorpe will be back in action on Saturday, 5 o'clock kick for the men, 7:30 for the women, hosting Suwannee in SAA play. John, thanks for taking some time after celebrating a big win.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We love having you guys. We're part of it. You guys do an amazing job, and thanks for talking about us.
Anytime. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, you're going to hear from Brad Kazan. You're going to hear from Rob Valentino. You're going to hear from Brooks Lennon, Saba Lobjanidze. You're going to hear from all of these folks as Atlanta United gets ready for the biggest game of the season tomorrow night, hosting Club de Foot Montreal at the Benz. We'll have action on 92.9 The Game starting at 6:30 for the Five Stripes Countdown. Kickoff at 7:40, but we'll get you ready for the match coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore here at Oglethorpe University in Brookhaven. After the Stormy Petrels got a 1-0 win over the Emory Eagles in a huge non-conference local rivalry game, hopefully you caught our interview with head coach John Aiken from Oglethorpe. If you didn't, you can hear that on Off of the Woodwork on the recorded on-demand version of the show, and you should be subscribed to that by now because you like to get all of the content that we put out here on 92.9 The Game. Whether it's interviews with players and personnel from Atlanta United on air, whether it's the full-time report after matches. The last one was an entertaining one after a 1-1 draw in Philadelphia for Atlanta United. You're going to hear a lot of audio. Some of that you might have heard on the full-time report, but I want to bring this audio to you tonight to get you ready for tomorrow. Atlanta United with the biggest game of the season, hosting CF Montreal at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 7:40 kickoff. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30. The Five Stripes Countdown with Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. Mike Conte and I will take over for kickoff at 7:40. If you're watching on Apple TV, you can choose the home team radio option and listen to our call there. Hopefully, you've been taking advantage of that at various points during the season. I know a lot of you listen on the Odyssey app as well. This game is the biggest of the year. There's just no way around it. I think 6 points out of the last nine will be enough to get Atlanta United into the playoffs, but only if three of those points are tomorrow, because Montreal is one of the teams that you are battling with. And I wanted to bring John Aiken on the show for a variety of reasons. First off, it was a big win. And second, he's been gracious enough to host us here for all of our content on the SDH Network and Atlanta Soccer Tonight here from Brookhaven. But also the story he told about his team. You know, John is not going to big himself up as much as he should. He's been the head coach here at Oglethorpe for 20 plus years. He's the all-time winningest coach in the program, of course. And he has his team play in a very attractive, very attack-minded style. A lot of Pep Guardiola, a lot of Barcelona in that way of playing. But he's also adaptable. And having conversations with him over these last couple of years, it's been fun to pick his brain at times about those adaptations. Talked about it tonight against a team in Emory that is big and physical and direct, and how his team had to find a different way to get a win. I'm always fascinated by the overlaps in my soccer worlds of teams that have to find different ways to win. And Atlanta United right now has to find a different way to win. this is not the Atlanta United team that was built at the beginning of the season. This is a team that doesn't have the same kind of a 10 that they had previously. They have Alexei Maranchuk, and his performance will be very, very important on Wednesday night. And again on Saturday, the team's back at home again against Red Bulls on Saturday, another huge game. I'll explain why I think the one tomorrow is even more important when we get into the table here in just a second. But you're down to games that are essentially playoff games, especially this one. Montreal's 3 points ahead of you in the table. They are in 10th. They are on the outside looking in at the moment as well. The playoff picture, eighth place is Toronto. They have played 32 games, one more than almost everyone in this mix. They're on 37 points, but they have 11 wins, which is the first tiebreak. Philadelphia also has 37 points. They have 9 wins. Montreal, the exact same record as Philadelphia on 37 points. A much worse goal differential, which is the next tiebreaker. Atlanta and DC are 3 points behind Philadelphia, Montreal, and Toronto. That's why Atlanta and Montreal is so critical. That's why Atlanta getting a point from Philadelphia and keeping them from getting three was also critical, because it keeps everybody in range. And that's a key here when you talk about Atlanta United. If they win this, they will be on the same record as Montreal, and they will jump Montreal because of the much more superior goal differential. They will not jump Philadelphia on goal differential, and that's another hurdle to climb. Philadelphia has a difficult run in. Toronto has one fewer game. That's one that you can jump, but you have to fully jump Toronto, because the only way you go ahead of Toronto right now in terms of wins, you have to win all three left to get past them, because you're not going to win a tiebreak with them because they have three more wins than you at the moment. I know that's complicated. I didn't tell you you were going to do math this evening, right? Let's get into some of the audio, and we're going to work backwards from Philadelphia first. There was a moment in the match that I thought was one of those grit moments, one of those moments that can carry forward for Atlanta United, just like John Aiken talked about with Oglethorpe, finding a way tonight and how that win will give them something in tough moments later to be able to say, hey, you remember what we did and found a win against Emory? We can do that again. Brad Kazan got in Mikel Uwa's face after a very late, cynical, borderline dirty challenge on Bartosz Szlich on the end line. Brad Kazan got in his face. I thought it was a big moment in the match. I asked Rob Valentino about it in our post-game conversation. Here's what Rob had to say about Brad Kazan, his captain, defending his teammate.
It's huge. I've been preaching to these guys about sticking together as a group. There's been a lot of turmoil in the year, and it's been difficult for them. So, you know, little moments like that are huge. I really wish it was more of the guys, not to get in a scuffle or anything like that, but you know, Brad's experience, and I think he just cares. Also, like, sees one of his guys get hit, and he spends a lot of time around those guys. They feel like family to him, so he goes to protect them. I loved it. He did it in the right way. He doesn't get booked himself.
I think that last part's really important. He doesn't get a yellow card in the moment. He could have taken one. Goalkeepers can usually get away with a little bit more than some other guys, but he made a statement with that moment, and that's something that will carry on for this team. And kind of going back to the conversation about Pep Guardiola, who I think is the greatest, most successful coach that we maybe will ever see in the sport. Something that he has done over the years, something that I know Rob Valentino has done, highlighting those kinds of moments. It's easy to pull video clips with a team and to show them, this is how we want to attack, this is how we want to defend, this is what we don't want to do in those moments. That happens all the time, and that's regular. But when you can start to intersperse good teamwork moments, I would be pretty willing to bet that that clip of Brad Kazan getting in Mikel Uwa's face and making it clear that you're not going to do that again against one of our players, that's one of those moments that will probably be shown to the rest of the team and reinforced as a behavior that we want to see. I liked seeing it, I'm not going to lie. I did ask Brad Kazan about it. You can hear the full conversation on the full-time report. Not going to play that one again. I didn't have time to edit some language out of it. But also in my conversation post-game from Philadelphia, I asked Brad about dealing with the crosses from Philadelphia. Jim Curtin said he felt like they settled for crosses a little bit too much. Here's what Brad Kazan had to say about dealing with crosses from Philadelphia on Saturday night.
You know, Listen, in the game of soccer, right? Like, if you can force them wide, delay, let them play wide, and then deal with crosses. The two in front of me, the two center backs, did a really good job tonight in terms of dealing with those crosses. And like I said, they put a lot of numbers in the box. Pedro, I remember one in the first half, made a really good clearance on the back post, on the back part of the six-yard box, where 2 weeks ago he got absolutely slaughtered and took some stitches. And the game before that, I got slaughtered again on the back post. And so, listen, that's not an easy thing to do, right? And so those guys were brave, got to put your head in there to places, and that may not be nice. So like I said, I don't know if that was our game plan per se. I think that is a strength of theirs. And so we knew that, hey, we're going to have to defend crosses. We're going to have to defend the box. And, you know, for the most part, I thought we did a decent job.
I thought they did more than a decent job. I thought Derek Williams and Steon Gregerson were immense. And I'm really glad that Gazan highlighted Amador's involvement in dealing with those crosses. I'm still mad about that challenge from Sam Surridge late in the Nashville game. And I'm still not happy about Dylan Nealis going over the top of him. And I felt like prevented him from jumping in the equalizer against Red Bulls. Pedro Amador has given you a whole lot more than anyone expected in his performances, a very well-rounded performance from Pedro Amador. We're going to talk more about Pedro Amador in the next segment and what he's given Atlanta United. I want you to hear all of this audio to get you ready for this game against Montreal, how big of a match it's going to be. Rob Valentino today after training was, or yesterday after training, was asked about how important it was to come back in Philadelphia and get that result. Here's Rob Valentino.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. We said before that I was posing to them, like, look, let's be on the front foot. Let's make sure we get the first goal. We didn't, and then they get it. And I said, they get goals in bunches. A lot of times this year, I mean, we played them last year in Philadelphia. We were at, like, 37th minute. They scored 3 goals in, like, 8 minutes. Game's essentially over. They did it against us here at home. They scored 2 goals in 4 minutes. So we knew that they could score in bunches. So it's about having composure. And I think that they showed that. It was difficult to get scored on. They've been working really hard. We made a substitution. And then all of a sudden, I think it kind of went our way a little bit after about 10 minutes. Then we end up scoring 10, 11 minutes. We end up scoring. So it was important to see that kind of reaction from the group. I mean, we've had a lot of that over the last couple games. So I lean on, like, the positive of it is that we're fighting back in it, great, but can we not fight back in it? Can we be on the front foot and push those teams away? That'd be my preference.
You don't want to have to keep fighting back. You only have so many times that you can pull that off. And this team has pulled that off a lot lately. Three straight draws in very difficult situations against Miami at home, against Red Bull on the road, against Philadelphia on the road. Any other season where you get back-to-back draws on the road against Red Bulls and against Philadelphia, it's a very successful week. You needed more than the 2 points out of it. You needed one of those to turn into a win, but you've never won at Red Bull Arena and you haven't won at Philadelphia since 2018. So I know it's very easy to look at it and be, oh, well, it's three straight draws. That's a bad thing. It is and it isn't. You're up against it now to where you can't have any more draws. You're going to have to find ways to win. But you do have to give this team credit for that fight and coming back and dealing with Philadelphia getting a goal and not letting it multiply, not letting that get out of hand. Very, very important that Atlanta United got through that. And I know we all went kind of round and round about the situation of, was Philadelphia a must-win game? I never had the must-win tag to it. It felt more like a must-not-lose game, and they didn't, and they found a way. Like I said when I talked about the table, you had to keep Philadelphia within shouting distance. They're 3 points ahead of you. They have a brutal run-in in terms of the schedule that they have to deal with. So does Atlanta. You still have a lot to deal with Atlanta as well, but you kept them within your sights. Now you get a chance to climb over Montreal with a win. You're not going to climb over Philadelphia tomorrow. You're not going to climb over Toronto tomorrow. But if you beat Montreal, you climb over them and you get right behind Philly and Toronto, who both have difficult games as they try to secure their playoff spots. All right, next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's not going to be a normal 3-4-3. It's going to be a different 3-4-3. It's a very quick look at what to expect tomorrow night as Atlanta and Montreal face. And then a little bit bigger picture about what to watch for around the league in this playoff picture. You're also going to hear from Brooks Lennon and Sabo Lobjanidze, along with another clip from Rob Valentino, as we get ready for the biggest game for Atlanta United in 2024. Tomorrow night against Montreal, kickoff at 7:40. Of course, you can listen to it here on 92.9 The Game. You can get ready for it starting at 6:30 with the Five Stripes Countdown. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman will get you ready for a huge match. I had the chance here in Brookhaven with Oglethorpe and Emery to feel playoff kind of intensity tonight. It was a good warm-up. I'm ready to go for tomorrow with Atlanta and Montreal because it is going to feel like a playoff game, and hopefully it has that kind of a feel in the stands as well. We'll be right back with more Atlanta soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Here in Brookhaven at Oglethorpe University, I called the match tonight between Oglethorpe and Emory. A thriller 1-0 win for the Stormy Petrels. Steven Johnson Fekula with the header from Nicholas Ciara. That was Oglethorpe's first win over Emory since 2019. Two teams that are striving to win their conferences and get into the NCAA tournament at the D3 level. Oglethorpe will be back here at home on Saturday, 5 o'clock match against Suwanee on the men's side, 7:30 on the women's side as they play their second match in the SAA. So that game tonight had a playoff feel. Tomorrow night, Atlanta United and Montreal will have a playoff feel. I have an abbreviated, kind of different 3-4-3 for you, but we are weaving a tale to get you ready for Atlanta and Montreal. And let's hear next from Atlanta United right back Brooks Lennon about these recent results. In a vacuum, very good results. A draw against the best team in the league in Miami, and then two draws on the road against Red Bulls in Philadelphia. But in the current situation, you need a little bit more. Here's Brooks Lennon on the recent results.
Yeah, obviously, if you see these results kind of at the beginning of the year or at the end of the year, you'd look at yourself and say, you know, wow, these are great points that we're picking up, especially at tough places on the road. But at the point where we are in the season, you know, we're looking to try to win every single game. And it was good to see. Like, we got back in the locker room after the game in Philly, and guys were disappointed not to get all 3 points. So, you know, that's great to see that the hunger is still there in the locker room, and you know, I know every single person is fighting to get into the playoffs. So we've got 3 opportunities, and you know, I think we've approached every game the right way, and you know, we've been getting positive results. So yeah, we're just focused on the next you know, the next game ahead of us, which is Wednesday against Montreal.
It is Wednesday against Montreal, 7:40 kickoff for Atlanta and Montreal. You'll be able to listen to it on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. That was Brooks Lennon after training yesterday. Here's Rob Valentino after training. I asked him about Montreal's high line and if playing these two pressing teams in Red Bulls and Philadelphia, if that kind of helps this team maybe have a little bit more urgency to get forward. Here's Rob Valentino about Montreal.
I hope so. I mean, it's whatever the game gives you, they should be playing, looking to play. So if a team sits off you, then you should have urgency to play quickly in front of them maybe, and then try to drag them out. If it's a team that goes and presses you, how quickly can you get back to front and get in behind them? So, you know, there's a little bit of, I felt like there's a little bit of what you're talking about when Tristan came in the game with to link with the Johnny and Pedro to then get forward and in behind. So things like that can help. They're always different games, so we look at different ways we can hurt the opponent.
That was Rob Valentino about the high line that Montreal plays and how Atlanta can try to find ways to exploit that. Here's Sabo Lobjanidze. I asked him on Saturday in Philadelphia after the game about what needs to be better against Club de Foot Montreal. Here's Sabo from our conversation in the locker room after the match.
So going back home with Montreal coming in on Wednesday, short rest, a team that you've seen this season, what is the missing element in your mind to getting that 3 points against Montreal?
I mean, it's like we need the feeling, you know, like we need the like first goal, and you know, like this boost, you know, like we can do this, you know. Like if you see like the last 3 games that they score first goal, it's really hard to come back, you know, really, really hard. So like we have to be. Like how we start, it's most important, you know.
They have to have a better start, and that's going to be a real key in this one against Montreal. We'll get into that in the 3-4-3 here in just a second. But one more clip. This was from after training yesterday. Brooks Lennon about Pedro Amador, and I asked him about how Amador started to get forward a little bit more and given a little more balance to the team. The left side has been an issue at times this season. The right side has been much stronger with Saba and with Lennon, with a lot of goals, a whole lot of assists between the two of them. Here's Brooks Lennon on Pedro Amador's emergence in the attack.
Definitely, yeah. I think it poses a threat on each side. You know, if you're getting goals and assists coming from the left side and the right side, you know, now defenses are you know, have to be a little bit more cautious of both sides, and so it's great to have him, you know, putting in, you know, dangerous crosses into the box. And it also, you know, gets me excited as well, because, you know, when I see him, you know, potentially getting in a goal scoring opportunity or in a dangerous area, I can get myself in the box and maybe get on the end of something, and, you know, or if it's not me, I can get my winger inside and have him finish off, you know, across at the back post. So, yeah, I think it's important for us as a team to be a threat from both sides.
That was Brooks Lennon from media after training yesterday, talking about Pedro Amador, who has been very, very good over these past few games for Atlanta United. Maybe even the past 3-4 games, he's been Atlanta United's best player. He's been that good, and he's going to be a key for Atlanta. In these two matches at home, the last two in the regular season, Montreal tomorrow night, New York Red Bulls on Saturday, it's time for a modified 3-4-3 presented by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. This time around, it's going to be three players to watch in tomorrow's match, four key games in the playoff race to keep an eye on for Atlanta United, and three keys to tomorrow night's game against Montreal. Let's start on the players to watch. And one of them we just talked about, Pedro Amador. He has given this team so much more balance getting forward. And I think he's also done the job defensively. Look, it's going to be a different challenge against Montreal, a team that plays in a 3-4-2-1, a 3-4-3, however you want to call it. It's like a box midfield with two players in front of two holding midfielders and then wingbacks. So he's going to have to deal most likely with Shaquille Marshall-Ruddy on the right side. A very good attack-minded player, came over from Toronto in the summer. Not going to be easy for Amador, but he's going to be able to get forward at times as well. And he's going to need to get forward, because if Montreal drops into a line of five, knowing that a draw would help them a whole lot more than it would help Atlanta, well, somebody's going to have to break that down. And Pedro Amador has had success in doing that for Atlanta United in these last few games. Another player to keep an eye on in this modified 3-4-3 is Caden Clark. He plays in Montreal's modified 3-4-3. He's one of the two 10s behind Joseph Martinez. Joseph had two goals on the weekend. And I think one of the reasons why Joseph is playing so well is Caden Clark and his reemergence into the MLS scene. Look, this is a player who the New York Red Bulls brought in 2020, scored a goal at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Atlanta United. I still feel like it should have been brought back for an offside violation. It wasn't. I'm still mad about this. This was a 4 years ago, and I'm still mad about this. But Caden Clark, after that, he made the move to Germany with RB Leipzig, and he wasn't quite ready for it. Came back to the U.S. in Minnesota, didn't really do all that well. Came into Montreal, and he has allowed Laurent Courtois to play this 3-4-2-1 that, in a lot of ways, is reminiscent to what Atlanta did at the start of the 2020 season with Joseph Martinez up top and Pity Martinez and Ezequiel Barco behind him. Remember PB&J? It still makes me sad that we didn't get a lot of time to see that. We got preseason, we got two CONCACAF matches, and 60 minutes or so in Nashville to start the 2020 season with that alignment. But remember how good it was with those three interacting? Montreal's getting that right now. And Caden Clark is a 10 who can do the defensive work and can drop deeper, but he can also create opportunities for himself and others. He has transformed Montreal, in my opinion, and made them much more dynamic than they were before he arrived in the summer. And the last player in the 3-4-3 to keep an eye on tomorrow is Jay Fortune. You saw him in Philadelphia move out to a left wing position, and I thought he was very good in that role. Gave Atlanta something completely different, because you know he's going to tuck inside. That's what he's used to. But he can get the job done running up and down the wing. And in this kind of a game against Montreal, who's going to play, like I said, somewhat of a box midfield with four, they're going to play three center backs, they're going to play wing backs. You're going to need Jay Fortune to be able to do what he has to do out wide if he plays that role, but also cut inside. You could see an Atlanta United group that at times looks like a 4-4-2, at times looks like a 4-3-3. And a lot of that's going to be down to Jay Fortune and his versatility. I think he has been really growing as a player and as a key that Rob Valentino can lean on. And I thought you saw that in Philadelphia, where Fortune moving out wide to the left really helped transform that game in Atlanta United's favor. All right, four games in the playoff race to keep an eye on as we continue with our AST 3-4-3. Let's start with Toronto. Their last two games, they host Red Bulls tomorrow night. Red Bulls have been drawing with everybody up until they got blown out by NYC. Can the Red Bulls, I don't know, get angry and go to Toronto and get something? Atlanta could really use them too. And then Toronto on decision day, they are off. So their last regular season match is on Saturday as they host Miami. And it's a 4 o'clock kick. So Atlanta United will go into Saturday night knowing exactly what they need to do if they get the win against Montreal, or if they are really chasing and in total must-win territory. Toronto has to maximize these last two games where they get them at home, but it's Red Bulls and it's Miami. Philadelphia, that's the other team you have to keep an eye on. Philadelphia is on the road tomorrow night in Orlando, and that is followed up by a trip to Columbus on Saturday. Very difficult games for Philadelphia. That's why, even with the two draws that Atlanta United has had in these back-to-back games on the road, they still should have a very positive feeling about getting into the playoffs if, and I do say if, capitalized, underlined, bold, italicized, if they beat Montreal. Because if you don't, then you're really needing Toronto to fall apart and Philadelphia to fall apart, because Montreal is going to be almost impossible to catch. You need to win tomorrow night. How do you get there? My three keys to Atlanta United getting a win on Wednesday night against Club de Foot Montreal. Maybe we'll come up with three more keys and I'll share them on Off the Woodwork if Atlanta gets it done and then gets ready for the New York Red Bulls on Saturday. Number one, this is universal, a better start. Saba Lobjanidze talked about it. Atlanta has only scored 4 goals in the first 30 minutes all season long. That's unacceptable. They need to get a goal early. They need to get momentum early. I feel like this team, when they get momentum, and you saw it against Miami last time at home, they thrive on it. They feed on it. You get an early goal, you're going to get that momentum, and you're going to see this team look different. And that's been one of the big challenges this year for Gonzalo Pineda before Rob Valentino. Get some good momentum going, especially at home. Number two, I asked Rob Valentino about it. You heard his answer. You have to exploit Montreal's high line defensively. They are going to take chances. They are not going to deviate from the way that they play. Laurent Courtois is a manager who is like John Aiken, who you heard from in the first segment of the show here at Oglethorpe University. He's like Rob Valentino. He's like Pep Guardiola in that he has a very clear way that he wants his team to play. He's not going to go away from that in this match, even if it potentially costs him. Atlanta has to make it cost them. Exploit that high line. Runners in behind. Jamal Tiare could be very important here. Saba Lobjanidze going over the top could be very important here. Edwin Mosquera, probably off the bench. I don't know if he's fit enough to play 90 minutes. Very important here. But also the fullbacks, Brooks Lennon, Pedro Amador, get in behind. And number three, and it kind of goes with both of those first two, get the crowd engaged, push the momentum. If that means getting in somebody's face after a heavy challenge, do it. If that means pulling off that skill move that gets the oohs and ahs out of the crowd, do it. If that means getting stuck into a tackle, do it. Atlanta United has to give the crowd something. And then the crowd has to give them something back. And that's going to be the push and pull of this match on Wednesday. You've got to create momentum, and you've got to then capitalize on the momentum. That's how you get 3 points against Club de Foot Montreal. And Atlanta United has to, if they want to continue their playoff push in 2024 in this crowded Eastern Conference race. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30 tomorrow and on Saturday night against the Red Bulls. Kickoff will be at 7:40 for both of those. Of course, you can listen to them on 92.9 The Game. Also, the Odyssey app. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, they'll get you ready. Mike Conti and I will take over from there. Thank you so much to everybody here at Oglethorpe for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you to everybody who listened, and adios, everybody.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.